Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Tuesday, March 30th, 2022. Friendly reminder, if you are watching this on Twitter or Facebook or anywhere that does not say youtube.com/menace2sports, if it does not say that at the top, we are going to cease to go live on these platforms, mainly because we're trying to grow our YouTube channel. We got 1,000 streams on YouTube alone yesterday on our morning show. And so we're trying to push everybody to YouTube. So if you could maybe right now, as you're listening, open up a new tab or whatever you need to do, subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/menace2sports, the number two, and hit subscribe, click the bell. So your phone alerts you when we're going live so you can stay up to date on, I don't know. Mm-hmm. We're not a breaking news operation. I was thinking about this last night because I tweeted a broken heart yesterday, right? Nobody's fucking business why I did it. I did it just because, I guess I don't know why I tweeted it, Chris. I really don't. I mean, my heart was broken. That's why. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't trying to be a reporter because I'm not a fucking reporter. Never will be, never have been. I will never give you breaking news. Now, I might mention
something. We don't want to be. No, we don't want to be reporters.
No, and I might mention something. I'm going to mention something today that I'm sure people will be like, oh, shit. That's what happened. It's neither here nor there. I don't want to break news. I don't care to break news. I know people do that shit for clicks. I titled this injury update just because people will click it. And it's hilarious to me that that's how this world works. Like, I could deliver in unbelievable insight and call it like analytic breakdown of Ohio State defense. And, you know, it'll get half as many clicks if I say breaking news, kid gets injured. It's like, what the fuck? What is wrong? Like, kid getting injured is like not that great of a story. But anyways, I put out a broken heart and I got inundated with texts, DMs, two phone calls from reporters, from, you know, people, friends of mine that are big Buckeye fans, you name it. Cause they're like, what happened? What happened? What happened? I'm like, for all you know, my fucking dog died. Like, why are you all so thirsty for Buckeye cock? That's what it's like, Jesus Christ. And it's not your business.
Hey, yeah. We love Ohio State, but yeah, I hear you.
and immediately I went to Cameron Babb and it was about Cameron Babb for the record. It was because I really, really genuinely care about that kid and I want him to have success so bad. And a friend of mine was at practice, a former Buckeye, and he saw Cam Babb get hurt and texted me immediately because he knows how much I care about Cameron Babb. And so I just, and you know, nobody knew the severity. Nobody knew what it was. They knew it was a knee. And I'm just like, I tears coming out of my eyes. Like, please, please God, tell me this kid did not tear his ACL again. Like, please. And then, I mean, the good news is it wasn't an ACL. It was a minor injury. He's going to be healthy. He's going to be back in no time. So all the things that I've been praying for, and I hope you all have been too, are still all on the table. And again, that might be breaking news. I don't really give a fuck because here's the problem. These reporters out there, you have the clickbait motherfuckers, right? That just go, Cameron Babb tore his ACL. He broke his leg in half. It fell off. And it's like, people are like, oh my God, freaking out. And then there's the other side of it that is like, has this pretentious, like, holier than thou. Like, listen, guys, I know there's reports out there, but we are trying to be respectful of the families and the players and the program. And it's like, both of you all shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I get it. That's the way to do it. The more honorable route. But I hope I'm not inundated in that because I go on Letterman Row yesterday and mind you, I like Berm a lot. I like Austin Ward a lot, but you talk about fucking shit show. Those people on that fucking site are clowns. Not the two guys I mentioned, but the people that post, like the fans or whatever. They are like, I don't even want to say his name, but Zach Smith tweeted this. And it's like, what? And it's like, well, and it immediately becomes a disrespect Zach Smith fest.
Yeah,
like,
literally.
Well, how dare him break the news about Cameron Babb? Bitch, I didn't. How dare me? Huh? Who did I steal that from? I got a thank you text from his family, by the way. because the kid thought he hurt his knee, didn't want to tell his family. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, because he wanted to find out what it was, and he was heartbroken. And so the family thanked me because they know I care. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference, right? I can tweet about whatever the fuck I want because I actually know these people. I actually have relationships with them. So you could be holier than thou and, mm-hmm. and take a high road and really have class and go do yeah. your Buckeye Letterman live with fucking C-class celebrities.
Your boy, Bobby Carpenter. That's your boy.
Bobby fucking Carpenter. There's a guy. There's a guy. You want to talk about C-class.
Holier than thou.
C-class morals. Yeah, but you're holier than thou. Gotcha. Gotcha. Just pissed mm-hmm. me off so bad because it's like these it's just the Buckeye beat is hilarious. Yeah. It really is. So moral of the story, I wanted to get that off my chest. I was destroyed when I first mm-hmm. heard about it. And I'm sitting here like, all right, you know, you might the guy who told me about it, maybe he, you know, maybe it wasn't the right guy. Not that it's good that anyone gets hurt, or maybe it's mm-hmm. you know, maybe it wasn't as severe and thankfully it wasn't, but trust me, I learned my lesson. I will not text a broken heart emoji about anything. I'll just text a kid's family. Mm-hmm. That was my mistake. So I apologize about that.
Yep. No, straight up. And it's let me peel back the curtain a little bit. You obviously have a really close relationship with Cameron Babb, and you texted me and we had a short conversation. I was sick too, dude. I don't even know the kid, but I just hear how highly you speak of him and the stories you tell about him. I wanted to throw up. And then you kind of see these stuff on other sites and there's, I mean, guys, like some of these sites will have dedicated threads just to shit on me and Zach. And it's like, it's unbelievable. And the people that run these sites don't do anything to lock it up. And then those are the same people circling back trying to get information. And it's
I'm going to be honest. Letterman wrote to, I said it before, Jerry Birmingham's the best in that industry.
Best in a business.
He doesn't need me to be a source. And I can't think of a time that he's needed me to be a source about anything. Even yesterday with the Cameron Babb stuff, like he didn't like reach out, like what's going on. Like he's fucking clueless. He's the most connected guy on the Buckeye beat. And it's not even close. So I don't want to misrepresent it. And I really like Berm.
That was more of a blanket statement. I wasn't.
Yeah. I was going to say, this is one. I think Jeremy Birmingham is excellent at his job too. I really like him as a person. And I've said before, he was the one guy, not the one guy, Bill Green too. And I didn't dislike many of them, but Bill Green and Jeremy Birmingham, I really felt like, you know, we were actually friends. You know what I mean? Like we had a relationship, and it wasn't just feed me info. It wasn't like that. So,
well, those are the two guys that I feel like care about the kids and not care about the story.
They're good people, bro. They're good people.
Especially Bill, especially.
Bill Green's one of the best people I've ever met, ever. Mm-hmm. He really is. And he's really good. He's great at his job. Anyways, we could talk about the Buckeye beat forever. I don't want to do that. But anyways, I just wanted to update you all because that is what I was talking about. And it wasn't intended to be some cryptic tweet that made people go crazy. I really don't give a shit what anyone knows. I will never be someone that tries to break news. Although I guess I kind of did, unintentionally.
Accidentally.
Accidentally. I just honestly was, I don't know. I'm so, because of my life and because of this platform, I'm so inclined to just jump on social media to say whatever I think or feel, because that's kind of what built this platform, that sometimes, like yesterday, I regret sending that tweet, moral of the story, and mm-hmm. it won't happen again because that's not what I want to be or what I want this to be at all.
From the Ohio State beat scene, I want to enter a different world, draft Twitter, because one of the most insane takes of this year's draft has been out, and it was a top five list from Chris Sims on wide receivers. And guess who was left off that list?
Both Buckeye wide receivers. I saw it. It's absurd. And it's the more energy we feed into that nonsense,
the more encouraging it gets, right?
Yeah, the least justice we're doing, right? But it's absurd. It's absurd. Like RJ Young takes, Chris Sims takes it. And it is what our society has become, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the don't say gay bill or anything else in the world. And I'm not trying to get into politics or anything, but it's all clickbait.
Yeah.
It's all like to get a rise out of people, because mm-hmm. that will sell subscriptions, that will get stories. And maybe that's where I've went wrong. Although there is certainly a lot of shock value with this product and this platform that I built, but it's never going to be, I'm not going to, you know, put out a top five defensive ends in the country list and not put Aiden Hutchinson on it. Like he certainly was one of the top five D ends in the country. Like, mm-hmm. I guess I value my credibility too much for that. Like, yeah. I don't want people to think I'm an absolute clown with a nose on and rainbow colored hair and makeup, and I just dance around to try to get you to watch me. Like, I might as well start an OnlyFans or become a porn star if, like, if that's what I want. I just like, look at me, please click me, click me. It's like, I don't know how you live with yourself. How do you look yourself in a mirror and say, I'm a man?
Exactly.
I'm doing something really cool. Like, how do you say that? It's like, ooh, what could I do today? Mm-hmm. What if I shove a carrot up my ass and run around the mall? You're becoming like Jackass at that mm-hmm. point, right? It's like, let me, you know, throw eggs at old people. That'll get a lot of views. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you have no value. It might be, or it is clickbait.
Mm-hmm. I just need to throw that up there. No, I don't love the little Chris Drew part, but yeah, don't leave me off a top five list. Like, I'm here. I think it's interesting because like there's such thing as a safe take, and there's obviously a hot take, and then there's like stuff that's absolutely absurd. Like, you know me, I'll die on a lot of hills, and I'll have reasoning behind the hills, and I'll push back, and I'll have, you know, strong conviction, but I won't go as far as to say stuff that is so out of left field that honestly, I don't believe it. Everything I say, I believe.
Okay.
Everything I say, I believe.
That's fair.
I guarantee you, death beam pointed at Chris Sims. Lie detector on him. We need you to tell nothing but the truth. He doesn't believe that list.
That's a fact.
And that's my issue with people in that realm.
Or better yet, Chris, if he does, he's the dumbest son of a bitch alive. And he should not be talking about anything related to athletics. Like, he should go start a ballet podcast or something. Like, no business talking about football. People like that have no business talking about this, whatever they're employed to talk about, either way. If they're mm-hmm. just doing it for clickbait, or if they actually believe such a horrible take, they don't. It's like Stephen A. Smith talking about Dwayne Haskins is more of a runner. Like, the minute you say something like that, immediately it's like, hey, all right, we got to get this guy off of there.
Like, hey, turn off his microphone. Turn it off. Turn it off.
It'd be one thing if you're Lee Corso, right? And you were really entertaining and really good at one point, had some strokes. Like, now you can't even talk and you just mumble. Mm-hmm. Like, that's another thing, right? At least you earned your respect in that field, right? Yeah. But this guy, Chris Sims, what did he do? He was a fucking horrible bust in college. Mm-hmm. Didn't do shit. And now he's on TV with the most horrific takes. And you're like, oh, maybe that's why he sucked in college. He's a fucking idiot. That's why he was awful at Texas. He's really dumb. We figured it out. The mystery's been solved. Woo!
They said that boy was throwing wide open DBs, man. Not even trying to throw to wide receivers, just the DBs.
I'm just saying, like it's one of those things where you're like, Chris Sims was like a six mm-hmm. star. Like, I don't even know what he was like, the best quarterback that ever lived. And then he went to Texas and was awful. And you sit there and scratch your head. You're like, how did that happen? Well, mm-hmm. we're learning. He's an absolute moron. And he probably watched as much film as a player as he does now for these horrific takes.
None. He's never watched any. Yeah, bad deal. And it's funny because it comes a year. He definitely understands the power of hating on Ohio State, because a year ago he got up in front of everybody and said, I firmly believe that Kellen Mond is a much better quarterback prospect than Justin Fields. So we should have. I support unfollowing people like this. Like, if you see shit like that, like that you don't think they believe, unfollow. Come kick it with us anyway.
Yeah, that's the issue, right? The issue is it works. And here we are talking about him. Here we are talking about his take. The issue is that it works. And the only reason why I allow us to make it a topic on this show is because I feel like we're shitting on him for it. Right. Yeah. And most people do, but I'm going after his personality and soul, mm-hmm. not just his take.
We're here to shine a light on the fucking fraud he is.
And not only that, that is a window into his character, who he is as a person. Like, I could never live with self-respect and dignity. Like, that's like the type of guy who lets his wife get fucked while he watches. Like, I'm out on that. Like, you have no credibility. You're not a real person. You're not a grown ass man. If you can make a take like that for clicks, like, you don't care about being a credible and respected person. Couldn't be me, I guess. Couldn't be me.
So, moral of the story, Chris Sims is a cuck. Anyway, I digress. Yes. Back to Ohio State football. We're heading closer and closer to the spring game, Zach. Who are you most excited to see play on the field for the first time? or not for the first time, who are you most excited to see during the spring game player-wise?
Well, I'm excited to see how they employ the defensive personnel. The reality of spring games is you're not going to see Jim Knowles' defense in its entirety. You'll see his base defense, stuff that you've already seen on film for Oklahoma State. And if you haven't yet, watch the Michigan breakdown part one and part two on YouTube. I encourage you to check it out, not because I understand it's going to be hard to watch and you don't want to watch Ohio State lose and all that, but I think that the insight I provided, I mean, I'm and this is not even being conceited or cocky or anything. I coached football for 15 years. Mm-hmm. So it's not hard for me to see what happened. And I think the insight that you can get into that game from that breakdown that we put out will, one, it's different than anything else you've ever heard just because of my experience. And two, it can show you how just slight improvements would have made that an entirely different game. As much of an ass whooping as that game was, just a couple things would have made it not only a close game, but maybe a Buckeye win. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm excited to look for the spring. That's why we did the Michigan breakdown, because the Michigan game was, it exemplified everything that was wrong with the defense for 2 years. And it gives us a chance to see that and get excited about what Jim Knowles can do to fix it. So in the spring game, we'll see his base defense. And we're going to do a Jim Knowles defensive breakdown from Oklahoma State here in the next week on YouTube to give you an idea of what his defense is, because I've not seen one thing that has reported it accurately. I did a breakdown on a podcast about it, gave my thoughts, but never with video. So I'm excited to do that. But that's what I'm excited to see in the spring game is I want to see where they employ personnel, talking about Jack Sawyer as their stand-up D end. And again, I will go back on this tirade. If you call it a Jack, because that's what Jim Knowles calls it, that's fine. But some of these scheme gurus that talk about hot 32-74 coverage and say shit like that, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. They're trying to talk over your head, and they do that to try to sound smart because they're not smart, mm-hmm. right? I try to take football scheme and things I see and bring it down to a fan level so you can understand it. I don't ever try to talk over your head.
Well, it's teaching it versus flexing it is what it
right.
is.
That's exactly what it is. So whatever you want to call the stand-up D end, I believe Jim Knowles calls it a Jack. I'm excited to see Jack Sawyer in that role. I'm excited to see just kind of where the personnel lays out, what linebackers are playing where, you know, who runs with the first group, right? Because you aren't going to find out much about scheme, but there is a reward in the spring game in going out with the first team defense or first team offense. Like, that means something. That means you had a great spring. That means they see you projecting into a starter. Like, that means something. There's little things you can learn in the spring game. Most of it is that, and who's going to make a play on a big stage, right? Mm-hmm. Especially a young guy, right? You put in a Jaden Ballard and throw him a deep ball against one of the better corners in front of the crowd that will be 90,000 plus. Will he make that play? Because as many times as he's made it in practice, for the first time in the horseshoe with 90,000 mm-hmm. people watching, there's a lot of nerves in that.
Yeah.
And so you want to see, is he ready to take that step and make those plays on a bigger stage? And that'll project kind of what he might be able to do this fall. So that's what I'm excited to see. And honestly, that's about it. Cade Stover at tight end, like I told you a month ago, that would happen. I'm excited to see him play too, because a lot of people are upset and think he's a defensive player. I disagree entirely. I think he could play defense, but I think he is a bona fide tight end. He has the body, the athleticism, the hands. I think he could be a legit ass tight end. And I'm excited to see him play there. And I think, honestly, moving him back to the offensive side of the ball, it shored up the one spot that I've been concerned about on offense. I mean, all spring, that's the only thing I've said. It's all been about defense and tight end, because I don't know who could have played the tight end position in the run game, pass pro, and it just to make the offense complete. I don't know that they had a guy, and now moving him back, I think that solidified that I was right and that they didn't have a guy, but now they do.
Is that a recruiting issue, though? Because, I mean,
absolutely.
Like, Cade Stover was a top 10 linebacker coming out of high school.
Yeah, that's fine. That shit's all bullshit. The rankings are bullshit. Positions are bullshit.
Okay, calm down.
Cameron Brown was like the 58th receiver. And it's like, mm-hmm. what? This kid's a fucking long corner. Okay, though. He's a top 60 receiver then, if you think so. Gotcha. Yeah.
Well, also, what it tells me about Cade Stover, it's interesting because there is a recruiting problem, but I do think the fact that Cade Stover's moving back to tight end means there was not a clear path for him to get on the field as a linebacker, which means that they're kind of starting to trim the fat out of that linebacker room to figure out who's going to play and who's not going to play.
Here's the other thing, right? Cade Stover was at linebacker for out of need, right? If they moved him back to tight end, that tells you that the need at tight end was greater than the need at linebacker, which I knew that the need was great at tight end, but the need at linebacker has been, I mean, superior to any need ever the past 2 years. So it tells you that maybe there's been some developments in the linebacker room that gives you so much hope and excitement that, you know what? They felt like they didn't need him at linebacker anymore. It's like, whoa, we've needed all new linebackers for 2 years. When in reality, we didn't. We just needed to develop and coach them. But,
so we're trying anybody out of running backs, tight ends.
Ryan's son. They were like, I know you're only 12, but you want to try Sam? Try Sam linebacker. We don't really care. Anyone. They put posters out on campus. Like, can anyone play linebacker?
Can anybody identify a gap?
Can anybody put their helmet in the right spot? And that's if you watch the Michigan breakdowns, you'll see
get
why.
All that.
You'll see why that is an issue.
Did you see Jim Knowles is doing basically the player of the day on defense? Did you guys do something like that under Urban? Do you like that kind of thing, or is it kind of more
it's all cheese dick motivation? But it is. I mean, you know, and I love it. I mean, don't get me wrong; it could be excellent. It's like anything else. We did the dumbest shit in the world under Ed Warner that if they were sold correctly and I don't know, if they were done correctly, they could have been awesome, right? Like giving the offense an identity. Like the defense has a silver bullets, right? Well, I developed zone six. I think that is something really cool you can do if you do it the right way. We had the FFF offense. You ever heard of it?
Mm-mm.
No, you haven't, because it was a fucking clown show joke. Like fast, I don't even remember what it means. That's how bad it is. I was on staff and I don't even know what it means. It was like fast, furious, and frisky. I don't fucking know. It was something he like named the offense, and he's like wanted to become the Silver Bullets. And one, when he brought it up, I was like, holy shit, you think in 50 years they're going to be calling Ohio State's offense the FFFFFF offense?
Fox Force 5.
Right. It was so stupid, but it's all how you sell it, right? If there's a lot of conviction, staff alignment, you go in, you drive it, and it's a big deal. You make it a big deal to be the silver bullet of the day. Then it's huge. Then kids want to do it. It's a motivation tactic, right? And it works. If you just do a half-assed job and just kind of stick a guy up there and just announce it and move on, then yeah, it's stupid. It's you know, you might as well just jerk off. It's just dumb. But I mean,
might as well hop on the hub and go beat it.
Right. I mean, it really, like, just don't waste your time. But it sounds like they're really doing a great job of using it. It sounds like the players are into it. And that's what it's all about, the buy-in, right? And if there's buy-in, then the motivation works. Then kids are out there like, fuck it, I'm gonna get that today. I'm gonna go get that award today. I want to get that because, what, you know, Chris, it's human nature.
Competitive.
Being recognized in front of a group of your peers feels great. For something,
Zach, I'm on the radio. It's like,
right.
It's like when they give out stuff, it's like, nah, it better be me.
Right. Like if they do something amongst people you respect, right? I could give a shit less if Buckeye Sports Media thinks this show is any good. Could not give a fuck less. I could not care any less than I care right now. But friends of mine, you know what really is for me? Coaches. Mm-hmm. Coaches that listen, and there's a bunch of them. When they text me and say, wow, like you are giving out insane knowledge. Like this show is excellent. That means the world to me. Right. When they text me and they're like, that was the dumbest shit I ever listened to. Cause they will, if it's dumb, then I'm like, damn, like tight. I got to tighten up because those people's opinions matter to me. Right. Mm-hmm. That's what it is on defense. Your peers, your teammates, your co-linebackers, your co-defensive players are, their opinion of you matters. They're your friends. They're your peers. And so when you get recognized as the best of the day or had a great day, that means a ton and it's motivating.
Mm-hmm. It does. It honestly kind of, as I've prepared for the spring game, I've been trying to keep track of who's been best of the day to see if there's any like trends. And with that kind of my first option for the spring game was Cam Babb. Obviously he's not gonna be playing in the spring game. So I had to kind of turn somewhere else, and I'm curious. I want to start a discussion, Zach, because best now versus getting caught later. Do you see a world where Denzel Burke gets caught by one of the younger corners in his class? Because I know he was the best to start with, but do you ever see guys taking leaps like that? Okay, you're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Denzel Burke's a first round corner, Chris.
Okay, heard you.
Don't get me wrong. I said I the same could have been said about Seven Banks. So yeah, could someone pass him and catch him? Absolutely. But that's going to take a major gaffe by Denzel Burke, right? He's going to have to become...
Or a leap. What about a leap? I just noticed that Jordan Hancock, you know, that's been kind of the guy that there's been a lot of talk about. And I know that Denzel Burke came in and was better. And maybe, you know, because of how thin that room was, started as a freshman. And I think he'll still start. But I do think it's interesting because we saw with Joe Burrow and Dwayne Haskins, like better now versus better 2 years down the road. Better now versus better year down the road. And as a coach, that's got to be a hard thing to balance. I do think Burke is a first rounder. But something that I'm kind of paying close attention to, especially with the new defensive coordinator and new position coaches there in the building.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's anything's possible, right? But that kid was so good as a true freshman. I can't imagine anyone passing him by. Could people catch him? Could people play? Yeah, absolutely. But it's like I said, it's going to take an injury, or it's going to take him just being full of himself and not grinding, not working hard to get out-developed, right? Because if he works hard, it's like anything else, right? I start here, you start here, and we both grind, like I'm going to stay ahead of you, right? It's if I don't grind or someone works harder than me that they might catch up. But to say someone's going to pass him by, he would have to really be just not buy in and not work hard for that to happen or get injured.
Well, I'll push back a little bit on that, like floor versus ceiling. Like Denzel Burke, I think, has a probably a higher floor, but like physical trait wise, like Jalen Johnson and Hancock are a little taller, a little longer, you know.
Denzel Burke has as high a ceiling as anyone in that room today. So, but yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it definitely could happen. People can make vast improvements in an offseason, especially a freshman to sophomore jump, because it's a full offseason. First time they get to go through a full offseason program, winter conditioning, winter workouts, strength training, spring ball, all of that. So yeah, a guy like Jordan Hancock absolutely could make a huge leap, but I'm just saying, I think Denzel Burke is a difference maker and Could Jordan Hancock become as good a player or in that conversation? Absolutely. But right now, as it stands today, Denzel Burke is going to be locked in. Absolute must.
And again, this is like me not – I'm not taking any shot. I've heard nothing but good thing about, you know, Denzel. It was more about like the better now versus better a year down the road or better 2 years down the road. Because we've seen it with quarterbacks primarily, and I was curious how coaches approach that. And because, of course, whenever we post something, the debate gets brought up, oh, Joe Burrow versus Dwayne Haskins. Well, Burrow was good two years down the road. It was like, oh, well better now does not always equal better later.
Well, that's a fact. Mm-hmm. That's a fact. And it'll be the good news is if someone is in that conversation, what a fucking problem to have, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what a day, man. If we're debating about who's better, Cameron Brown, Jordan Hancock, Jalen Johnson, or Denzel Burke, you're like, holy shit, there's four guys in this conversation. What a day to be Jim Knowles and the defensive staff. Like, it's a great day.
And part of my thing is this cornerback room better be really fucking good. Because I'll never forget, I will be paying very close attention. We basically said no thank you to the Ricks kid because we were worried about making someone unhappy.
I think it was more just wasn't a great fit than making someone unhappy. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they didn't feel like that was worth the risk because they loved the talent in the room. And, and with a new defensive staff, with actual coaching and development, I think they were more than satisfied with what they had sitting in Columbus, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm never satisfied with that, but I do think it is interesting that decision was made obviously before the coaching changes happened as well. Cause I mean, obviously if that shakes out differently, it could be different, but Zach, I don't have anything else for today. Do you have anything else that you want to hit?
I do. I just saw this comment and I can appreciate it, but Jim Knowles now calls that position the Jack because no one was yet worthy of the Leo. I wasn't aware of that. So I appreciate Colorado Buckeye for that. And I guess that's kind of a cool motivation thing, but at the same time, we get so tied up in names. It is a stand-up D end. It's a defensive end that stands up. That's all it is. But I can appreciate it, right? That's like being the quarterback. That's like the having the keys to the Ferrari of the Buckeye defense. And so they create an aura about it, which I'm here for. So I'm just excited for the spring game. I think you're gonna at least be entertained. It's going to be nice to have some Buckeye football. Worst time of year, man. March Madness ends, and I'm not a big basketball guy, but after this weekend, March Madness ends, and then the spring game goes off, and then it's like, man, I really got to watch like LeBron
No, Zach, chill. This is good. You know what they're calling you on the YouTube channel? They're calling you Dr. Menace. So I like that when you're breaking down stuff. So during this down period in the sports world, we're going to be cutting up stuff. I'm trying to have a game for Zach every week cut up for him to go through and look at, or just something at least.
Well, we're going to do some cool things. Like, we're going to break down Jim Knowles' defense. We're going to break down players and you know, where they, their strengths and weaknesses and things that we, you know, hope to see. Oh, Lord. Oh, the large Farva over here. I'd rather have Zach's son at safety than Bryson Shaw.
Hey, well, we're done beating up on Bryson Shaw, man. Leave that boy alone.
My kid's a baller. That's all I'm going to tell you. Okay, he might not be, but he's my kid, so he's a baller.
When?
When what?
When did I ask?
The fucking comments talking about my son. Oh, I was just talking about it. Kick you out of the stream, Chris.
Man, chill. Wait, what? You said you were going to make me little one of the things.
Oh, that's all I got, bro. Chris.
Yeah, that's all I got, man. Get me the hell out of here.
I am excited. I do want to mention, I've mentioned it every day, Zone 6 is officially, I've said it fucking 100 times, but it's just been a process. But this new computer, new studio's built. I cranked out 10 drill videos last night. So we already have more content than I wanted to launch it. So we're launching Friday. It's a go. And I'm really excited about it. It's going to be, I'm telling you right now, if you are a football player, middle school, high school, college, doesn't matter. Football coach, youth, middle school, high school, college, doesn't matter. Or if you just want to learn the game at a really high level, I'm not even trying to be conceited, but it is coming together exactly, even better than I thought it would. So super excited about it. If you want to check it out, zone6.com, please don't sign up yet because the it's not completely correct and built, but it will be by Friday. Actually, I think the front end will be done today. The back end will be done tomorrow for a launch on Friday. So stay tuned to that, zone6.com, all about athlete development. And it's going to be really cool, Chris. Just kind of big picture, eventually what it's going to grow into. We're going to have a full-time nutritionist on there, strength coach. Obviously, I'll handle football, and we might even get into other sports, you know, one day, big picture. But it's going to be an online platform. If you're a kid or a coach, you just learn and get better and maximize yourself or maximize your mind when it comes to the game of football. So I'm excited about it. It's the only thing I wanted to mention. So that's all I got, Chris. Menace out.